Paul's letter to the Romans. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll take time to read the first 11 verses. It reads like this: Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Now let me stop here for a moment, please. Could I draw your attention to four things that would be yours tonight if you trusted the Lord Jesus? Verse 1, it says you will have peace with God. Peace with God. Everything blotted out that's against you. Verse 2, you will have entrance by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That is, you'll be able to enter the presence of God. You'll be able to speak to God, to pray, so that possibly you'll stop saying prayers. Being converted, you'll begin to really pray. The close of verse 2 tells us that we'll now live in hope of the glory of God. So your feet's in the road to heaven. Peace with God, praying to God. Now your feet's in the road to heaven. The close of verse 5. Listen now. If you put your faith and trust in God tonight as a sinner that believes in Christ as your only hope, then God will give to you His Holy Spirit to indwell your life. So He'll now guarantee you power to live for God. Now let's read on. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now let me gather up quite a number of things here for you, will you? Back to verse 1. When he talks about being justified by faith, he means that the indictment that God has against you will be blotted out. He's telling us that there's grace for the guilty. Look now, please, at verse 6. There, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Not only grace for the guilty, there's help for the helpless. Without strength. Look now at verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, not only grace for the guilty, not only help for the helpless, there's love for sinners. God's love for sinners. Down now to verse 10. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Not only grace for the guilty, not only help for the helpless, not only love for sinners, forgiveness for enemies. Finally, in verse 11, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, real joy for people that never knew true joy. Grace for the guilty, help for the helpless, love for sinners, forgiveness for enemies, real joy for people who never knew real joy. I want to ask you something. Tell me, did anyone ever tell you you were guilty? Did anyone ever tell you you had no strength to save yourself? Did anyone ever tell you you were a sinner and God in love provided a Savior? Tell me, from this platform or anywhere else, did anyone ever tell you you were an enemy in the sight of God? You're a rebel. You refuse to bow, refuse to believe. God, now please, I'm not reading between the lines. It's God that looks upon you as an enemy and is prepared to forgive you if you'll repent and believe the message. Did anyone ever tell you that you never knew real joy in your life? And the only folks that know real joy are the Christians. Oh, you've been happy till something happened, then the happiness was gone. But real Christians get a deep joy that no circumstance can disturb. No situation can throw them off, because their joy is now in God and not in life here with its varying circumstances. Wonderful, isn't it? Eh? Grace for the guilty, help for the helpless, love for sinners, forgiveness for enemies, real joy for folks that never knew it. I'm not going to say much more than that now. It's yours if you want it, the outline. I've been asked to tell you the story of my conversion. It may surprise some of you who have listened to me over the years to learn tonight that I wasn't reared in a Christian home. It may surprise some of you and please you that my parents came from the north of Ireland. Although some of them smiling now, any credit is going now, they're quite happy to take it. They're saying to themselves, I knew there was a bit of Irish in you. My father and mother came from the Limavady area. You know, right along the Claudia Road. My mother was born in a little place called Limavady. They'll come in a moment. And way back many years ago, they went over to Scotland, father to find work. And it was in Scotland that I was born, one of three boys. I was the middle one. They're always the nicest ones. That place where mother was born was a little, I suppose it's a townland called Drumraithlin. If you know the area at all up there, my mother was a Glendinning. Quite a number of them around there, yeah, quite a number of cousins around. However, while we were nominally members of the Church of Scotland and all that, and betimes looking back now, I felt that possibly mother had at some time come under a gospel influence, might even have been with the Faith Mission. And We were in our teens when one day two men came to a little village where we stayed. Now I come from Kilmarnock, but in those early days I was born in outside Cote Bridge in Lanarkshire, in a little village called Garcherry. This might interest you. It was an orange village. You see, in those days there were lots of Irishmen and others came over, as you know, to Lanarkshire, and they were all orange. I got the impression in those days all Irishmen were orange. And Father was the master of one of the orange lodges. There were quite a number of them in the area. But this village was practically totally orange. They had three bands. They had a pipe band, a silver band, and a flute band. And on the morning of the 12th, well now, in Scotland they hold it the Saturday nearest to it, usually the Saturday before the 12th. These bands would go around the village, you know, kicking the Pope, before they left. And the flute band was the favourite. I can remember at 7 o'clock at night, the flute band, if they were away with some group, they would come back and arrive at the railway station round about 7 o'clock, and the place was mobbed with people. And there they went along the road, and all the crowd was front and behind, you know, singing, dancing, hooking, we would have said, you know. And there it was. You never went to bed the night before the walk. There was a dance up in the Orange Hall till about 2 o'clock. We were just children running around, you know. And then as we grew up, and you spent the night, you know, running around the place. But one day, two men came with a tent, and Father and Mother got converted. Well, it changed the home. And I was the most opposed to this business. I didn't like it at all. Didn't like it. You know, Father resigned from the Orange Lodge. And I can remember men coming from the sort of head lodge, I don't know what you would call it, the headquarters, coming to try and get him to change his mind. I can remember that quite clearly. And it was all strange. And as I say, I was quite opposed to the business. And life went on like that, maybe for about 18 months or so. And one day Mother announced that there was an evangelist, a man coming to preach the gospel in the gospel hall. And she told me he was coming for a month. And of course, she started to put the pressure on for us to go to the meeting. You know, maybe somebody put a wee bit of pressure on you to come tonight too. You understand what it's mean, like, don't you? And I kept putting it off, you know. I mean, I had won a billiard snooker tournament not long before it. That's how you spent your life. And in the end, when it came to the third week, I felt to myself, now, why should I keep living under this pressure? I'll tell her I'll go up some night. It'll be a Thursday night, because you've no money on a Thursday night. You spent it all. I'll tell her I'll go up on the Thursday night, and that's that. Once I've been, I can always say, well, I've been now, and that's it, I'm finished. And away I went up. I listened to the man preaching. Now, don't ask me what he preached. Now, I can't tell you. You understand? I mean, I didn't know anything about this business. You know. But I remember walking down the road. You know, it was strange. I couldn't have described it to you. I know now that the Spirit of God was moving in my heart. I didn't know anything about those sort of things. And as I walked down the road that night, thinking very deeply, I came to two conclusions. They were opposite conclusions. They were paradoxical. I was puzzled. I came to this conclusion. that I didn't want to go back. And the second conclusion was I did want to go back. Well, it was a strange thing, eh? I know that's right Scottish, but that was the impression. I didn't want to go back, and yet I wanted to go back. There was something telling me, go back, Jack. But deep down, I came to this. I said to myself, you ever talk to yourself? I said to myself, Jack, if you go back to that place, you'll get converted. You'll never come out again the same. That was the impression that was in my heart. And I struggled for 7 days. I battled it. Oh, I knew enough about what I'd listened to, that if I believed all that this man was saying, things were going to be different. I couldn't live the way I was living. Sin, you know. That was quite clear in my mind. And the next Thursday night, never said anything to anyone, I decided I'll make my way up to the hall. The meeting started at 7:30. I hope you're listening to me now. It started at 7:30, and I reckon they'd take me up by the previous night, you see. I was going to moan this time. And I says to myself, if I can get to this place just about 8:25, I'll slip in. Nobody will see me. You see, in my ignorance, I thought you filled gospel halls from the front to the back. I didn't know you filled them from the back to the front. I thought I was slipping to the back. Oh no, you backseaters, listen to me, a stranger coming in. When I came in, the place was full. And they walked me right down and they planted me in a seat for that lady. Right in the front. I reckon possibly the only seat there was. And I listened to this man preaching. I don't know. But oh, the battle that was raging in my heart. I was face to face with God. I was in the presence of God, and everything was condemning me. And yet the whole atmosphere of the place and what the man was saying was all right, and I was all wrong. The meeting closed. There was a man sitting beside me, a wee man. I knew him. He was known as Sanny Smith. Sanny's, you know, for Alexander. Sanny Smith was the works manager. He wasn't a director, but he ran the whole business. He was the man that knew everything about iron ore and all the rest of it. Sanny Smith was the man that started you and the man that sacked you. Sanny Smith, even when he was walking up for his dinner, he walked like this. You know, he was Sanny Smith, and that was the man who was sitting there. So when the meeting was over, he turned and he spoke to me. Now, I don't know what he said. I can't remember. But I know it must have been something like this. Would you like to get saved? Would you like to get converted? Something like that. Never spoke to him in my life. Well, he came from the same village. I said to him, I'd like to speak to the preacher. So I just sat tight where I was. Mind you, I was quite glad I wasn't at the back of the hall. But I was sitting facing this way and I just sat where I was. I mean, there was nobody looking at me. And now they were all going out that way. I just sat there. In a moment or two, down came one of the Christians and the preacher. They took me in through a door here. This man opened his Bible. Now, very humbly, please, very humbly. That man, this preacher, had been reared in a Christian home. And you know, if you've been out in a world like that out there, you don't need a man with a Bible to tell you you're a sinner. Do you know that? At least I didn't. Do you know, looking back, I reckon I'd forgotten more about sin than ever he'd learned. It wasn't very long till I was on my knees. Now house all over.
Now I'm walking down the road.
Everything was just the same. Well, I wasn't running about dancing or anything like that. And if you had met me that night, I don't suppose you'd been too impressed. I don't think so. I don't think I'd have impressed you. You see, if you had said to me, they tell me you're born again, well, I wouldn't have a clue. I didn't know the language. And if you had started to say to me, what's happened? I would have said something like this to you. Now listen, there's no use of you asking me a lot of questions when I don't know the answers. And I would have said to you this, the only thing I know is this. Now listen to this. The only thing I know is this, that up there in that hall tonight I met Christ. And all I can tell you is this, I've got peace with God since I met him. I've got peace with God. I know it. You can argue me out of it if you like, as much as you like. I've got it. Now listen to me now. I never knew that night that it said in the Bible, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I never knew that. Never knew it was in the Bible. Well, what was in the Bible was in that act. Did you find that? I'll tell you more in a moment. When I got converted, I began to find myself going through experiences that later on I found in the Bible. Man, that was great. I'd went through the thing and didn't know. And yet it was all in the Bible when I started to read it. Do you know? Now please, I'm no paragon. Don't misunderstand me. Do you know, from that night, I've never once doubted I was converted. I never once had a doubt that I was saved. Do you know I had no problems with the mates, the boys? People talk about giving up. No, no. I found this. When they recognised that Jack was determined to go that way, they gave me up. I had no battles, no arguments. I just told them, listen, I'm converted and I'm finished. Oh, now listen. I said, listen. But listen, Jack. Listen, I said, I'm finished with it. I don't know very much, but I know that I found Christ. Things are going to be different. My, I didn't know the Spirit of God was working in my heart. A couple of weeks passed and I was walking down the main street in the town when I met one of the girls of the crowd that we used to run about with. So I stopped and spoke to her. She says, the first words that she uttered after I had said one or two things, she said, Jack, you're speaking different. Now I wasn't putting on any accent, I can assure you, but there were certain words missing now. She says, you speak different. You see, God was changing my talk and my language, and I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Now, it was toward the end of the year that I got converted. Listen to this. And I'd promised this girl that we would go to a certain picture house in the city of Glasgow on New Year's Day. Now, I was just saved. I wasn't baptized or anything like that. Just saved. But I thought it was only gentlemanly and courteous to fulfill my promise and go to the pictures. See? Now, normally it would be a great occasion. I'd have thoroughly enjoyed it. And while I wasn't too sure about the thing, I said, I can't break my promise, I'll go. So I went. You know, for the moment I entered the place, I was miserable. I was totally miserable. The things that I once loved and enjoyed, I was beginning to hate. And I can remember sitting on the seat, you know, darkness, and there's the picture, and she's at my side. And I'm saying to myself, God, if you get me out of here tonight, I'll never be back. If you get me out of here tonight, I'll never be back. Now, just a minute. It was a long time later when I read my Bible.
that told me that a Christian loved not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That was in my heart that night in the cinema. I never knew it was in the Bible. Do you know, things were happening to me. It was the Spirit of God changing my life. I didn't know, for nobody told me I had the Spirit. We don't teach conduct the way we should, you know. I didn't know what it was. There was a power there, but I didn't know what it was. And God was taking me a certain road, and as I read my Bible, I was coming to it in my Bible and saying, but I know that it's true because I've been there. It wasn't that I was obeying the Bible and I didn't know it. You see how the Spirit of God can lead a person along the right road and take him along the road the Bible says. And that's what was happening to me. And as I read my Bible, I was coming across it all the time. Now, I don't know you people. I know some of you. A lot of you I don't know. I want to tell you something. Your personality is eternal. Are you listening to me? Personality is eternal. And long after this world has ceased to be, you'll live somewhere. Have you got that? When this world has ceased to be, I'll use the language of the Bible that I know now. When the heavens pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat, probably by atomic fission, you will live on somewhere. You're greater than the world you live in. You're greater than your circumstances. You're made for the skies. You're made for the eternities. Somewhere, in heaven or hell, you'll be. Tell me, where are you going?
Tell me, where are you going?
Do you believe in your heart that you can't save yourself?
Do you? Now, don't go out and walk out now. You'll promise me, won't you now? You won't go out and walk out, eh? You want to talk to me, wait till the end of the meeting. I want to tell you what I think about. Oh, you say, just a minute now, just a minute. You don't know me. You said that yourself. That's right, I don't know you. I want to tell you what I think about you, based on the Bible and my own experience of human life. Tell you what I think about you. The first thing about you that I think is this. You're worse than I think you are. That's the first thing. The second thing I think about you is this. You're worse than your wife thinks you are. You're worse than your husband thinks you are. You're worse than your mother thinks you are. You say, you better stop. Well, right, I'll stop. I'll stop. But if that's what I think about you and I don't know you,
what do you think God thinks about you and he knows everything? Eh?
Knows all that goes on inside here. Everything naked and open to God. Don't you see, if there's anybody in this building tonight that needs to be saved, it's you. Mind you, you're getting on a wee bit. Isn't that right? You're not as young as you used to be.
I'll tell you something. It's getting harder. You know, the longer you go on, the harder you'll get. Whenever you sin against God and you sin against a person or persons and you sin against yourself. It warps your personality. Sin affects you. That's why you're difficult to live with. Ask your wife.
That's why you're obstinate and difficult.
Because sin's having an effect upon you.
The message that we preach tonight is that God loves you.
The message that we preach tonight is guilty of wrongdoing. The message that we preach tonight is that God has provided a Savior, a sinless Savior, willing to die for sinners. The message that we preach tonight is that you're totally bankrupt and unable to save yourself. You can't lift your little finger to atone for one of your sins. Well, that's tremendous. Do you know what I found in life? I found the longer I lived, the greater was my capacity to sin. Did you find that? I found I would have tried things at 15 I never would have thought about when I was 11. I found I was doing things at 17 I never did when I was 13. That's capacity to sin. Yes? And forgiveness of sins comes from God. It doesn't come from any man. It doesn't come from any priest. It comes from God. Would you like to go home tonight? Ultimately, put your head in your pillow and know that all your sins are forgiven. Come on now. You're at peace with God. Now listen to that. Do you believe these things? You might not understand them fully. I didn't. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you believe it? Not your good works. Not doing the best you can. Not that you're as good as your neighbour or some of the Christians. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And you'll never get it any other way. Now, you don't need to wait till the meeting's over to get converted. Just where you're sitting, if you lift your heart to God and say, "Oh God, it's only too true what he says. I'm just a poor sinner on the road to hell. I'll take Christ tonight." Well, you do it. You can do it where you are. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to sign anything. I'm not asking you to kneel down. I'm not asking you to come forward. While in my preaching career, 3 persons have walked forward during a meeting unasked and indicated that they wanted to be saved. I'm not asking you to do it. You can do it if you want. But I want to say this to you tonight in God's name. Don't you leave the meeting if you're not saved. Now, I'm not trying to frighten you. I've 2 reasons for that. Far too intelligent I am to try and frighten you. You're far too intelligent to allow me. You know, I was conducting a wedding on Friday. I was away most of the day. As we came forward to the door, my wife and I, the phone was ringing. When we get in, it stopped. About an hour later, it rang again. They said, "We're trying to get you all day, Jack." I said, "What's wrong?" They said, "Flo had a big heart attack and died. They found her in the bathroom." Little Flo was a widow. She has been a widow for 22 years. Her family broke her heart. Well, the Christian's children can be cruel. Flows in heaven. Flows in heaven since Friday. if anything happens to the preacher, you take it from me, the preacher will be in heaven. And they'll not be there because I was a preacher. They'll not be there because I knew my Bible. They'll not be there because I live a good life. I'll be there because there was a moment once in the little anteroom in a gospel hall, the second time ever I heard the message. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. What I didn't know could have filled the library. I tell you, I had the real thing. I had the real thing in my heart.
I would say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, don't go. Don't go. Don't walk out into the unknown. Don't turn your back on the God that loves you and the Saviour that died for sinners. Sink your pride. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Repent of your sins and turn from them to Christ and give them up forever. Christ will give you the power to do it. God bless you. God help you. Oh, you'll need it. You'll need all the help that you can get tonight. You men, listen to me, will you?
Do you know what I've found in my preaching career? I don't know about the rest of the preachers. I have found in my preaching career that women are more courageous than men. If a woman makes up her mind, she'll take Christ and she won't worry about tomorrow at work.
The man will have all sorts of fears about what the boys will say and the mates will say and how he's going to explain it. I find with women, they'll say, "That's that, come what may. I'm standing for Christ." That's it. If you're here as a man tonight and a husband, are you leading your wife and family on the road to hell? Refusing to, on its lowest level, to show the right example? To find God and Christ for yourself and lead them into the good of it? You're a mother. Isn't that right? You leave family in your heart. Will you make a decision that could ultimately mean heaven and home for all of you and a real life of satisfaction now, living for God and Christ all time? I want to tell you tonight, I am perfectly happy. I have a conscience at rest. I have a heart that's satisfied. I live a life without care. Oh, you say, things must come, that's right. But the Bible says to Christians, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There are compensations. You'll never know them until you're prepared to repent and believe the gospel and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Let us pray.